sisters, my first duty, a very pleasing duty, is to extend the right hand of fellowship to our new brother Jamie Wickham and our new sister Mariana Wickham. Welcome into the family of our Lord Jesus. It is wonderful to have you. You now begin your walk in the Lord along the road of discipleship. And in our readings in a few minutes from 2 Corinthians, we're going to read, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Look, new things have come. Now everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ." And just as our bodies depend upon daily hydration of water and the intake of food, so the daily intake of God's word is vital to our spiritual growth and our wellness. Without it, we will wither and will perish. And so we do encourage you to adopt the habit of daily reading, meditating upon God's word, and prayer. In the Christadelphian magazine, the beginning of the year, the January edition, a sister wrote about having spiritual goals. And she said, "Moving forward into 2016, what are your spiritual goals? And how will you achieve them? How will you stay focused?" And in the course of that article, she gives a table of between 30 and 40 spiritual resolutions. And just to name a number of them to give you the idea, "I will not be ashamed of the gospel. I will not let sin reign in my body. I will delight in God's law in my innermost being. I will cleanse body and spirit of defilement." That comes in our New Testament reading today. Further down the list, towards the end, she says, "I will pray without ceasing. I will speak evil of no one. I will be content, free from love of money." And I commend that article to you, to us all. And then she says, "Having chosen your spiritual resolutions, you now need to think realistically about how you will achieve these." And not just you, me, it's all of us. Bearing in mind that the goal can only ever be to improve, not perfect, these things. Set yourself clearly defined short and medium and long-term goals, and give these deadlines where appropriate. Visualize what it will be like to have achieved each goal. For example, if you choose to focus on prayer, your short-term goal might simply be to pray more often than you have been doing. Your medium-term goal might be to pray 3 times a day, after you've done with family, while your long-term goal would be for prayer to have become second nature, so that it forms an integral part of your day and you're constantly aware of God's presence. What wonderful spiritual resolutions these are, and may God be with us all as we seek to be united in them. On behalf of the Bay of Plenty Ecclesia, here are two. and sisters, shall we stand and unite together in prayer? Great God of Israel, God and Father of our Messiah, the Lord Jesus, we bow before you, praying that you will strengthen the faith and the resolve of each one of us to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, our Lord, our Master. We pray that you'll strengthen the trust in you of those who are sick and those who are in special need at this time. Especially be with those who minister to them, we pray. And because our appointed goal in the ultimate is life forevermore and participation in the resurrection from the dead, we pray your blessing. And now, meantime, as we are gathered together around the table of our absent Lord, I pray that you'll bless us as we endeavour to fellowship in his sufferings, that we might grow into greater conformity with his death. And so we're here by his appointment to present ourselves as living sacrifices, that when that glorious day of resurrection comes, it might be our happy privilege to be raised from the dead to his side. And this is our hope. We pray that it might be strong in each one of us. We pray for your blessing at this time, especially to be with our new brother and our new sister. We know that it is good for us to walk with them, as it is good for them to walk with us. So please watch over us, dear Father. During this hour, as we seek to renew our vows and improve our discipleship, we pray that the richness of your blessing might be with each one of us, just as you know our individual needs. May the warmth of discipleship blossom between us. We thank you now for the forgiveness of sins that we enjoy, and all the many blessings that are showered upon us as members of the family of Jesus Christ.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. Good morning, my brothers and sisters. To the Jews, the Jewish nation, the Passover was and still is a day which they remember the deliverance from bondage in Egypt. Brothers and sisters, we too have a very, very special occasion, a very special ceremony, right here, right on the table before us, right now, to commemorate our deliverance from slavery and from the slavery of sin and death. And yesterday we were all very privileged to witness as Jamie and Miliana were set free from their slavery. In Luke and in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we find something that Matthew and Mark failed to mention. Christ said, "Do this in remembrance of me." So, my brothers and sisters, we are compelled to ask the question, what is it that we remember at this very important occasion? Well, we need to remember first that we our need for salvation. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 tells us, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Okay. We also need to remember our need for forgiveness. In 1 Colossians chapter 14, it tells us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And also, we need to remember our need for his love for us. And John chapter 10, verses 15 to 18 tells us, and the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for my sheep. What a host of ideas spring to mind, don't they? The outstanding theme is that Christ is our Saviour. And each first day of the week, we come together with those of like precious faith from all over New Zealand, from Tonga, and from all the rest of the world. We come together as a worldwide family for 24 hours as the clock ticks around. There's people coming together doing exactly the same as what we are doing today, to remember the love of our God in giving his beloved son for us to die. Can you think about that for a minute? He gave his son for us, that while we were sinners, he died for us willingly. The memory is a wonderful blessing that we've been given, each and every one of us. And although we will have forgotten much, and some more than others, you know, as I look around the hall, there is some that will have forgotten a lot more than others. Some of the memories are very happy ones, and we treasure them, and we live them over and over again in our minds. And at times we share them with others, and sometimes to the annoyance of others. But some memories are very unhappy ones, and they tend to haunt us. And we want to actually blot them out of our memory if we could. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28 tells us, let a man examine himself. So we see that self-examination is a vital property to properly remember our Lord in a way appointed. Clearly, a certain mental and moral condition is essential for acceptable partaking of the emblems that stand before us. We have to remember his perfect obedience. We have to remember his perfect love towards his God. We have to remember his devotion to do God's will. And all of this with a desire to be like him at all times. Brothers and sisters, how much time do each and every one of us spend in self-examination? Our self-examination should not be limited to just a few moments just before we partake of the emblems. It should be a daily exercise of comparing our ways and our thoughts with those of our Master. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 tells us, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may provide what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, the object of our self-examination is that we may be like him. By remembering the beautiful attributes of Jesus and by imitating them for ourselves. And if we do this, we are moving towards God's requirement for us. Namely, to love him with all our hearts, with all our minds, with our whole self, we love him. And try and manifest holiness and purity in all our ways, and to be zealous in regard to the things of the truth and the things that we stand for. To be kind one to another. To be gentle. And not to be angry. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 23 and 24 tells us, therefore, If you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has ought against you, leave your gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to that brother, and come and offer your gift. Have you ever looked at what these verses are actually saying? Here is the only place in Scripture that you will find, the only place in Scripture where God takes second place. It's the only place where God takes second place. For first, you have to be reconciled with your brother. And the way I read it, and if I'm wrong, you can come and tell me afterwards, I don't mind. But the way I read it is that what Christ is saying here, that if you know you've got a problem with your brother, whether he's got it against you or you against him, if you are not prepared to reconcile with your brother, you cannot be reconciled to God. And that is terrifying. What a high calling we have, brothers and sisters. We are called to be sons and daughters of the living God. Right now. And yesterday we witnessed as Jamie and Meliana were adopted into our very special family. And this, my brothers and sisters, is our destiny. But only if we want it and remain true to our calling. First John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 tells us, beloved, now are we the sons and daughters of God. Now. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. This is the very thought that we should have before us as we partake of these emblems before us. Yes, brothers and sisters, it's a very, very high calling indeed that we've been called to. So let us examine ourselves so that when he comes, we may all enter in with him into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, right now, is our opportunity to quietly meditate on Christ's command and to ponder their impact on our lives. In thought, in speech, in action, in everything. My brothers and sisters, we've had a quick look at Matthew chapter 5. Let's stay there a minute. And let's consider and see clearly the characteristics portrayed by Christ. These characteristics, they should be ours. You know, Matthew chapter 5, Jesus was poor. It said, for he had nowhere to lay his head. It says that Jesus was a mourner, for he was a man acquainted with grief. We know that he was meek, for it says, when he reviled not again. He hungered and thirsted after righteousness, because it says, my meat and drink is to do the will of him who sent me. And he certainly was merciful and righteous, because it says, my meat and my drink is to do the will of him who sent me. Sorry, he was merciful and pure in heart. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and him only shalt thou serve. My brothers and sisters, we all proclaim to be his disciples. So let us place ourselves for a moment in the shoes of his disciples when they were being tested at the crucifixion, on the day of crucifixion. All that they saw was the man that they had trusted. The man that they had expected to be king of Israel. The man that they were sure was the Son of God. The man who could perform miracles. This man who, when he was arrayed before his accusers, was apparently weak and helpless. If he was the Son of God, then surely he should have been able to destroy these evil men. But the man that they trusted could not do a thing to help himself. they had forgotten Isaiah 53 with the description of the lamb led to the slaughter, the sheep dumb before his shearers and opened not his mouth. They had forgotten a number of times that Jesus had told them that he would be arrested, that he would be tried, that he would be scourged, and that he would be killed, and that he would rise the third day. My brothers and sisters, what have we forgotten? What have we overlooked? One day, very, very soon, our Lord will come again to the earth to set up his kingdom here on this earth. There will be many different reactions to his coming. Yes, there will be those who don't believe. And some will even fight against him as this is the Antichrist. There will be some who will be petrified with fear at his coming. And then there will be those who will meet him with fear, yes, but also with great joy. And as we wait that time, we remember him in these emblems that stand before us. And as we partake of him, let us pray that we may be among those we will go out to meet him with fear, yes, but also with great joy. And let us remember what John says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. He says there, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." And that is why, brethren and sisters, we make such a determined effort to call those disciplines which will help us to remain spiritually awake in the last days. The fellowship of our brethren and sisters, all of us here, all worldwide, even in Tonga, all over the world, the fellowship of our brethren and sisters is most important in our walk to the kingdom. We are required by law, this law in the Bible, to carry each other's burdens, and not only the 1 mile as required by the Roman law. We need to keep in mind what God has done for us through Christ in saving us from the bondage of sin and death. Here we have a divinely appointed opportunity to refresh our memory right here on the table before us. To think carefully and deliberately again about what has been done for us. To be regularly reminded of our blessing. To be reminded of our responsibilities in Christ. So, when Jesus says, "Do this in remembrance of me," what is it that we remember? If we allow the emblems to remind us of the salvation that was wrought for us by God through Jesus, then we have good cause in hoping that we will be written in the book of life, or in the book of remembrance that's being written right now, as is recorded in Malachi. And brethren and sisters, now, before the emblems, we remember the first supper. On that occasion, 13 men sat around the table. The heart of one of them, Jesus, was filled with a mixture of love and sadness as he looked around the table at the faces of his friends. What do you think he would see, or what do you think he does see when he looks around this table this morning? Even Judas was there. The Lord knew what was in the heart of Judas. He knew he was acting out a lie. And he sat at the table with all the others. He even allowed the Lord to stoop down and wash his feet. How would we have washed the feet of Judas given the same opportunity? And how many times since that day have people accepted the service of their Lord and then have gone out and betrayed him. So, with supper almost over, the apostles watched with consternation as the Lord rose from the table. And laying aside his mantle, he took off his mantle. And laying aside his mantle, he took a towel and wrapped it around himself like a common slave. And then he began to wash their feet. They watched him in silence, wondering, "What are you doing?" For they looked upon him as the Christ, the Son of God, the one who would shortly proclaim himself to be king, the restorer of the kingdom of Israel. Surely it's not right that he should humble himself like this. But taking a basin, he fills it with water. And stooping down, he begins to wash their feet. And in silence, feeling very, very awkward and very uncomfortable, and not understanding the purpose of his action, they finally all submitted. There was John. There was Peter. There was Matthew. There was Philip. There was Thomas. There was Jamie. There was Mariana. There was all of us who've accepted Christ in our life. Christ humbled himself to provide the means of washing. And we, his followers, should humble ourselves to receive it. That was the lesson that he taught them there in the upper room, clad as a slave, and as he knelt before his followers, before you and me. And in order to assist them, and in so doing, he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And as we now come together to renew our vow to our God through the emblems, let us not come like Judas with betrayal in our heart, or like Peter, refusing to accept our Lord's cleansing. But let us humbly submit to our Master's will and humbly say, "Thy will be done, O Lord."